Enjoying this episode of The Late Show Pod Show? Then head to cohst.app/lateshow or visit the link in the description to fill out our quick 2-minute survey all about getting to know you.
Show. I am your host, Stephen Colbert. Ladies and gentlemen, the thing we all knew was going to happen and continues to happen at a slightly faster pace. You see, for weeks, Vladimir Putin has been amassing troops on the Ukrainian border, especially near the breakaway Ukrainian provinces of Donetsk and Luhansk. Well, yesterday, Putin unilaterally declared them independent republics, then directed Russian Defense Ministry to deploy troops in those regions. Smart. He declares them independent, and then when he sends troops in, he can technically say, that's not an invasion of Ukraine, because that's not Ukraine anymore. And at this point, Putin's most important weapon is his Sharpie. So, why? Why is Putin sending troops into a place that's not his country? He claims it's to carry out peacekeeping functions. And it's true. I keep this piece of Ukraine, I keep that piece of Ukraine. I keep all the pieces of Ukraine. I am peacekeeping. Peace having, peace grabbing. And these two regions could be just the beginning because he gave every indication that he wants the whole pierogi.
I would like to reiterate that Ukraine is just not our neighboring country. It's an integral part of our own history, culture, and spiritual space. Historically, people from this territory were called Russians.
Now, Ukrainian experts have pointed out that nothing Putin just said is true. And I can verify that because I used to live in a neighborhood in Chicago called the Ukrainian Village, not the Russian Village. They have a Ukrainian Catholic Church, a Ukrainian Orthodox Church, a Ukrainian delis, Ukrainian barbers. When I lived there back in December of 1991, the Ukrainians were holding an independence referendum. And I went to that barbershop and I said, hey, you're Ukrainian. What do you think is going to happen in the vote tomorrow? And he was so happy that this American kid took an interest in the independence of Ukraine that he turned me away from the mirror and walked around me for 2 hours cutting my hair. Just to have somebody to talk to. Until all I had left were white walls and a little tuft on the top of my head, like a Katzenjammer kid. And he did to my head what Russia wants to do to Ukraine. And if I had called him a Russian, he would have given me the Sweeney Todd. By the way, the very next day, they held that referendum in Ukraine, and 92% of the Ukrainian population voted for independence from the Soviet Union. No one can dispute that kind of margin. Not even Russia's biggest cable news celebrity, the My Turnip Guy. In his speech last night, Putin lied some more.
More than Ukraine from the beginning and in its totality has been created by Russia.
To prove Putin wrong, after he made that claim, the United States Embassy in Kyiv tweeted out these four churches in Kyiv, dating all the way back to the 10th century, next to the empty forest that Moscow was in the same period. Oh, snap! You just got St. Peter's burned! That's crazy. Not to be out-memed, Putin then tweeted, I can has Ukraine. It's an oldie but a goodie. It's an oldie but a goodie. Following all this, the White House initially avoided calling Putin's troop movements an invasion and imposed light sanctions, barring new investment, trade, and financing by U.S. persons to, from, or in the so-called Donetsk People's Republic and the Luhansk People's Republic. Well, that's a disaster for anyone invested in the Ukrainian coffee chain Dunkin' Donetsk. But today, latte stroganoff, was that? But today, that all changed because Joe Biden spoke to the American people and laid out some tough penalties.
We're implementing full blocking sanctions on two large Russian financial institutions, VEB and their military bank. We're implementing comprehensive sanctions on Russian sovereign debt. That means we've cut off Russia's government from Western financing. It can no longer raise money from the West and cannot trade in its new debt on our markets or European markets either.
So that means no Russian money can come into the U.S. There goes Tucker Carlson's sponsors. The administration, along with allies from Asia, are also considering even harsher sanctions that would cut off Russia from the high tech that helps warplanes and passenger jets fly and make smartphones smart. When these sanctions do take effect, your iPhone in Russia is going to sound like this.
Hey Siri, give me directions to St. Petersburg.
I don't know.
And it's not just the president. The Senate is preparing its own list of sanctions, and reportedly, Republican lawmakers are itching to sanction Putin's romantic partner. Putin's romantic partner? So, the horse? So, whoa. Our allies are also getting in on the sanction game, specifically German Chancellor and Herr Magoo. Olaf Scholz, this morning, despite his nation's reliance on Russian energy, Scholz announced that the Germans would suspend its certification of the Russia to Germany Nord Stream 2 natural gas pipeline, which means Germany's going to have to rely on their own source of natural gas, eating sauerkraut. It's all part of their new patriotic campaign, beat Putin, get Tootin. Germany, I don't think it's going to be that effective. I don't think it's going to be what? That's not dignified enough for you? Grow up. Germany shutting down the pipeline led former Russian Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev to tweet about the high-priced natural gas they'll now face. Welcome to the new world where Europeans would soon have to pay 2,000 euros per 1,000 cubic meters. Whoa, that is a lot. Or a little. The metric system means nothing to me. What's the temperature? It's a little number. Is that bad? Of course, the country most affected by the invasion of Ukraine might just be Ukraine, which, contrary to what Putin thinks, is a country led by Ukrainian president and grown-up Eddie Munster, Volodymyr Zelensky. In light of Putin's aggression, Zelensky now says he's considering a request from Ukraine's foreign ministry to sever diplomatic relations between Ukraine and the Russian Federation. That's right, he's considering it. It's like Julius Caesar famously said as he was being stabbed to death, "Et tu, Brute, I am seriously considering asking you to return your friendship bracelet." So, just considering it, John.
He's considering it.
That's all.
The bracelet.
So, all this makes for a very stressful and uncertain time on the ground in Ukraine, but there is one person having the time of his life. Multilingual AP reporter Philip Crowther, who posted this video.
There's been a war with Russian-backed forces. Natürlich ist es schon ein gewisses Sinn und der Krieg gewinnt.
Dos reuniones que va a mantener el presidente francés.
Moscovo brandió un anuncio de retirada de terceira. La diplomacia puisse arrêter une invasion russe de l'Ukraine.
Und ein Vorwand für Russland in die Ukraine.
Wow, that looks. That's pretty good.
Great job with the language.
Now, that looks impressive, but if you translate it, he's just repeating the phrase, "Where is the library? I must use the bathroom urgently." Moving on to the world of sport. For years, the U.S. women's soccer players have been fighting for equal pay, and this morning, the U.S. Soccer Federation and women's players agreed to settle their lawsuit. That's right. They did it.
You see? Let's go.
Hell yeah.
Hey.
I can't believe it's a great thing. It's a wonderful outcome. I just can't believe it took this long to reach this goal!
I see.
The decision caps a 6-year fight over equal pay. 6 years! So, half a soccer game? I don't... It's in metric, so I don't really understand. The new agreement includes a pledge from the Federation to equalize pay for the men's and women's national teams, and the athletes involved in the lawsuit will receive $24 million. That's great. That's fantastic. That's really good.
That's nice.
That's great, but keep in mind, they're only allowed to spend it with their feet. That 24 mil didn't come out of nowhere. The bulk of the figure is back pay, a tacit admission that compensation for the men's and women's teams has been unequal for years. They're admitting it. Men and women's soccer pay has been unequal for years, kind of like their World Cup victories.
Coming up, meanwhile.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
John, I got here. I'm very excited. Two of my favorite Johns are going to be on here in just a little while. Obviously, yes. You're one of them. You're right over there, John.
Yes, indeed.
But the great, truly a treasure, John Turturro is going to be out here in just a little while.
Hey!
And from CNN, I've known this man for many years, John Avlon is going to be on here for his new book about Lincoln.
Great.
And the fight for peace after the Civil War. Sure. John, you know what I saw on Saturday night? I saw The Music Man.
The Music Man.
Right down the street from here. And the thing about it, one of the reasons why it felt so great to see this musical, and by the way, everyone go see this musical, it is like we would all be healed as a nation if we would all just go see this musical.
Yeah,
it's not doing anything. It's just telling you a good story, trying to make you feel good.
Yes.
But you know, we were in this building on and off for how long were we out of this building? We're out of the building for 5 months and then in this building for another 15 months without, in a little room, and I was in my office part of the time, and I looked out the window, and every day I would look at the Music Man marquee right down the street here. Because the entire world shut down 2 weeks before they were supposed to open 2 years ago. And they just opened on like February 10th or something like that. And going to see it really felt like very, very helpful, hopeful.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the reasons why the audience was just so lit and the cast was so joyful is that they felt like, okay, this was like an emergence, like coming out of hibernation or something. And I hope we can all celebrate in public together without masks, hugging without fear soon.
Definitely.
There, I said it.
100%.
Where do I find the courage? You know, folks, if you watch the show, you know I spent a lot of time right over there combing through the day's big stories, selecting the finest news tenors and the silkiest sopranos. Then I brush up on the works of Cervantes and find the perfect sweet spot between drama, humor, and opera to compose for you the timeless and seductive Spanish zarzuela that is my monologue. But sometimes, folks, I wake up in the freezer of a combination Taco Bell Pizza Hut on the expressway and I cut a pair of leg holes into a potato sack and race barefoot into the city to break into an abandoned dollar store where I fashion a pair of castanets from defective chattering teeth toys. Then I down a jerry can full of Red Bull and cough medicine before staggering into a public park to disturb tourists with the Drifters Flamenco Showcase of News that is my segment. Meanwhile. Oh, the Wells Fargo wagon is coming down the street. Meanwhile, supply chain problems just got worse for car buyers because a cargo ship full of luxury cars is on fire and adrift in the middle of the Atlantic. So either a terrible industrial accident or they're filming the new sequel, The Fast and the Furious, Too Wet, Too Flaming. As for the buyers of those autos, Porsche says that customers with cars on board the burning ship are being contacted by their dealers. I'd love to hear that call. Hello, yeah. Mr. Johnson, remember how you declined the protective undercoating? I got some bad news, buddy. Meanwhile, ever since the New York Times bought Wordle a few weeks ago, players have been afraid that the game would change, and it has. Because now there's a slew of ad-tracking tech on a game once lauded for having none at all. In other words, Wordle is watching you. Fine. Whatever. But if it's watching, can it pitch in and tell me if the O isn't the second letter, but it's also not the third letter? How can it not be ocean? Say something! I don't know, Chris. Meanwhile, an auction house in New York has a piece of sports memorabilia on the block, a cigar that Michael Jordan smoked with a starting bid of $500. It's like that old saying, one man's trash is another man's $500 trash. Meanwhile, a raccoon fell through the ceiling into a packed LSU dining hall. In a totally unrelated story, tomorrow's dining hall special is ceiling meat jambalaya. Ceiling meat. Meanwhile, the internet is very excited about today being 2/22/22. See? See? Very excited. Because it's a palindrome, and this one is especially rare because it landed on a Tuesday and is therefore being called Tuesday. The last time this happened was 400 years ago in 1622 when they called it Satan's Alignment and every village burnt two redheads to save the crops. There was even a website. There's even a website out there some folks have been following named World Tuesday with the message, let's make it a day of taking care of ourselves. What do you do to make it a good day for yourself? Yoga, reading, see a good friend, spending time in nature? Me, I'm gonna go home and binge Euphoria while eating an entire Kroger sheet cake. Or as I call it, Tuesday. Well, the Wells Fargo wagon is coming down the street. Well, in honor of Tuesday, tonight's Meanwhile is brought to you by the number two. And we have a very special guest. Come out and say hello to everybody. The number two, everybody.
Are you ready to party?
Hey, two.
Get it? Two, 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 two. What's up, Steve? Let's light this candle.
Well, hello, two. You certainly do seem to be enjoying the day.
I've had two fists of bourbon, two bottles of Adderall I stole from two different pharmacies, and two lovers. It was 6 and 9. La, 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 la. Cause tonight we're gonna party like it's 2/2/22. Woo! I want a fist fight, a stop sign.
Okay, that's not the tone that I was expecting, number two. You're going pretty hard there.
I'm gonna make those prudes at Sesame Street regret firing me. I haven't been this blasted since I hung with number three on March 3rd, 1333. We stole an ox cart and crashed it into a blacksmith. That chick is sketch AF. Stole my boyfriend. Do not lend her money. More pills!
So, folks, don't encourage her. So do you maybe think you should take it a little easier?
Shut up, Steve. This is my time. You said it yourself. This hasn't happened since the 17th century. I haven't gotten laid in 400 years. Ask me who it was.
Look, I it's really none of my
Galileo.
Business.
Galileo! That telescope wasn't the only thing that expands. He went to town on this. Woo! Ow, ow, woo! Well,
I'm glad you're having fun, too, but I heard today is supposed to be about self-care.
This is self-care. I'm celebrating me for once. My name is synonymous with taking a dump, and I come second at literally everything. Why? Oh, because of you know who. I'm number one. You were born into it. Screw her. Let's make out.
No, thank you.
Fight me! I can't be killed!
The number two, everybody!
Coming up, John Turturro.
Hey everyone, it's David Duchovny. Do you ever feel like a failure? Trust me, I get it. Hell, I've spent my whole life almost feeling like a failure. It's appropriate, though, because on Fail Better, my new podcast with Lemonada Media, exploring the world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives, is the whole point. Each week, I'll chat with artists, athletes, actors, and experts about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, I hope we can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out on May 7th, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the best show on Broadway. Welcome back, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, my first guest tonight is an actor you know from Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou, The Night Of, and The Big Lebowski. His new film is The Batman.
Some event, huh? Brought out the one guy in the city more reclusive than me.
Thought you'd never leave the shoreline. Aren't you afraid someone will take a shot at you?
Why? Because your father ain't around. Oz, you know Bruce Wayne?
Wow, is that right?
His father saved my life. I got shot in the chest. Right here. I couldn't go to no hospital, so we showed up on his doorstep. Operated right on the dining room table. Kid here, he saw the whole thing. Up on the stairs looking down. I remember your face. You don't think that meant something he did then?
It means he took the Hippocratic Oath.
Hippocratic Oath. That's good.
Please welcome back to The Late Show, John Turturro.
Nice to see you. Thank you.
Nice to see you.
Great
again.
To
Thanks
see
for
you.
Being back. Thanks
well, thank
for being
you.
Back. You know, time doesn't mean anything anymore because of
no.
the last couple years.
No, we're all on Zoom, so
but
that's it.
The thing is that I just found out moments ago when I was talking to my producer here, the last time you were here was February 27th, 2020.
That's
right.
Right
before everything shut down.
That's right.
Okay. And it's lovely to have you back.
Well, it's lovely
after
to
two
be
years.
Back.
And yeah. That was the day before your birthday, right?
Yeah,
you know,
that's
the day
right.
before
yeah.
your birthday, February 28th.
Right.
So, and now you're about a week away from your birthday. Thank you for making it a tradition.
Yes, it's almost
to pre-celebrate.
Like every 2 years, it's like a half a leap year type
exactly.
of thing. Yes.
You're about to be the big 6'5".
Yeah.
You got any plans? So how are you going to celebrate?
I'm not retiring.
No. But
no,
still collect the Social Security.
Yeah.
You've been paying in.
No, they send you that AARP stuff, and you're like, I put it in the garbage. You know, I'm like, you know.
You have a party? Is there a big celebration?
No, I have a dinner with my family.
Well, we just saw a clip of you in the new movie, The Batman.
Right, The
I
Batman.
Love the yeah. Batman.
The Batman.
Now, you're playing Carmine Falcone,
right.
my boss in
right.
In
he's
the city.
the comics, you know,
he's
the Frank
the,
Miller comics, Year
sure.
One, The Last Halloween, mm-hmm. everything.
And opposite Robert Pattinson's
Batman.
I don't associate you necessarily with playing a deadly baddie, like your bad guy
I
who
was,
could kill you.
I played bad guys when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And then I tried to, you know, get away from that a little bit. But I played a few bad guys in my day.
Sure.
Miller's Crossing. And,
yeah. Well, that's Bernie Birnbaum.
Yeah.
He's like
yeah.
a weak bad guy.
Yeah. This
is
the
like
guy.
A super tough guy.
He's sort of the man behind the curtain, you know, sort mm-hmm. of the predator who, you know, offers his services to people as a benefactor and then he kind of, you know, owns them, you know.
Right.
In a way.
It's very menacing. They even
yeah.
that little clip.
Yeah. I mean, I you know, some. When you play a bad guy, it's kind of fun because you get to be sort of irresponsible in some ways.
What do you mean?
But
like you don't have to, like...
you get to do things that you can't do at home. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure.
Like not wash your dishes.
Sure,
you know,
sure,
not pick
sure.
up your clothes. You know, not have your wife tell you like, "What are you doing, Stephen?" You know, this is you know. But I kind of grew up. Not that my father was a builder, and he was a very honest guy. But he had plenty of jobs where he had to work for these
type of people. And, you know, he used to always, he worked for this one particular guy who was a bodybuilder. And he was, you know, and Marvin, he was named, they used to call him Superman, another DC comic guy, because he had a body like Superman.
Yeah.
And my father used to tell me, don't ever look him in the eyes. You know, when you talk to him, just look, keep your eyes on the ground. And so,
really?
You know, for real, because he was afraid, like, that he would seduce me or, you know, or like, you know, because they draw you into their web, say, what can I do for you, kid?
Into the glamour of evil,
yeah,
as we
yeah.
say.
And, and he, you know, he thought he was so strong. And one day, my uncle, who was very strong, they were looking at this big girder, which was part of a foundation. And he was saying, I think I could move it, you know, because he probably killed people. So he thought he could move the girder. And he tried, and he couldn't do it. And then my uncle, who was really strong, who knew how to do it with his legs,
yeah.
you know, was very heavy, a big, and he took it off the cinder block. And the guy, like, looked at him like, well, you know, I could still kill you. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Feel too big.
No, but those kind of people, they really are, you know, they're really parasitic. So
yeah.
I've kind of grew up always staying away from that. But when you do something like this, you know, you try your best to.
You got something to tap into there. At least a little experience.
To tap
into. A look in
yeah.
the eye.
Because it's kind of a film noir-ish detective
yeah.
story.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Batman's film noir-ish.
Yeah, but this one is really, really real film noir in many ways because you see them trying to solve the crime and sort of Batman becoming who we get to know him. You know, he's at that stage where he's sort of awakening. At the stage where you were talking about with our, you know, kids at between a certain age where they're still, they don't know who they are, you know.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about you. You'd be great in a film noir.
I would be?
Yes. You'd be
who
you'll be great in film noir.
Am I the killer,
no,
the detective,
you'd be like,
who am I?
Like Fred McMurray. Fred McMurray when he was in Double Indemnity.
Right,
like he's a killer, but no one expects
natural.
It.
He seems like he's
everyone,
a nice guy.
Yeah, you got all dead bodies behind you and stuff like that. You'd be great. Fantastic.
Shh.
You know what I mean? And then Jean-Baptiste and I, we'd be the detectives, and we'd arrest you, we'd bring you down.
You and John?
Yeah.
You guys team up to take me down?
Yeah.
No, and
but,
nobody
but you're
believes
a good
you.
Actor.
And
you're
nobody
a good
believes
actor.
You.
Right.
Because I'm Stephen Colbert. No,
no
one believes
but
you.
No, but you're a good actor. Yeah, you are. So,
John
yeah.
Turturro just said I'm a good actor.
No, you could be. I would cast you in a film noir.
You would cast me?
Yes, in a film, definitely.
Done, do
you
it.
Could maybe
you direct. Direct me in a film. I'm in. I'm available.
Okay.
Next, I'm booked. Yeah, can you get me in the new... How about the Batman?
There'll be another Batman, I'm sure, after this. There'll be
sure.
The Batman, you know,
yeah.
part...
More Batman.
Yeah, you know, more Batman.
We have to take a quick break, but don't go anywhere. When we come back, John and I will talk about our new movie we're doing together.
Late Show Poncho listeners can get 20% off on all Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise on ParamountShop.com. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show shirts, mugs, accessories, and more with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
Hey, everybody, we're back here. Maestro himself, John Turturro.
Oh,
were you
yeah.
a DC?
Oh yeah,
guy?
I like DC. Yes.
DC.
My first love, I have to be honest, was Zorro. That's my first when I was a kid.
Sure.
Because I used to draw the mustache and have the, you know, the mask. When I would eat like, you know, cereal and stuff like that, I was always have it. And when Zorro would come on, you know, da 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 da. And I had the, you know, I had the sword.
Yes.
So when my father would come home from work, I put the Z on his stomach, like Sergeant Garcia, you know what I mean?
Sure, sure, of course.
You know, I love Zorro, but Zorro influenced Batman. I mean, obviously.
Really? For real?
Yes, absolutely, yes. But Zorro, because he's the predecessor. They also have black capes,
sure,
black
sure.
masks. They have two identities. Come on.
There it is.
I mean.
There it is.
I mean, they're like cousins.
Sealed, done.
Zorro, and, you know, it's... Let's face it, the black outfit is the best outfit. You know, come
sure.
on.
It's very slenderizing.
Yeah, it's. But well, except for Adam West, he had the.
But
he had the.
Style. He didn't wear black.
No, but Adam West.
He was like that kind of that
Adam
kind
West
of like almost
a,
periwinkle blue.
He was the best.
With the big underwear
the
belt buckle and the utility belt.
And his line readings was like, "Why is Jean-Baptiste sitting at the piano over there?" Like. with always a little question mark. And but I loved his body.
Sure.
His body, because he looked like a playboy.
Well, that's a
right?
body
he
that
really
I could aspire to. I cannot yeah. aspire to Robert yeah. Pattinson's body. Yeah.
But I, remember,
I already have Adam West down.
I remember. Can you do Adam West?
I have the physique.
No, not at all. But do you remember, I don't know if you watched Batman when you were a kid.
Of course, yeah.
When the Green Hornet out. Came on, then they had to fight the Green Hornet. And then I was my, you know, I loved Batman, but then they had Kato.
But it was a misunderstanding, right?
Yeah, there was a misunderstanding.
They thought the Green Hornet was a bad guy, but
I know.
It wasn't really.
But once I saw Kato, he also was dressed in black.
Sure.
So
with
I was
a little mask, with the Zorro
with
mask.
With another mask, too. So that was...
I know what I'm getting you for your birthday.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
I mean, come on.
The rapier.
The
there
rapier.
You go.
It's
fantastic.
Next time we should do.
Well,
he has one of those names that he'd be.
John Batiste?
With the sword.
Oh, 100%.
He should have a sword right out. Like
there you go.
With the album, man,
yeah.
You know?
Mm.
I mean, even.
Good.
Really, can you see him go with his initials?
Sure. Just a J.
Yeah,
it's a J.
You know, then a P like that. And then he plays the piano like that. Fantastic. He also would be good in a movie, too, you see?
Of course
he'd be good in a movie. I think we're kind of working on something right here.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who's going to be the superhero, but you're definitely the bad guy.
I'm honored.
Yeah, no.
I'm honored.
Up next, John Avlon. Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more, and Late Show Poncho listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. My next guest is an author and senior political analyst at CNN. Please welcome back to The Late Show, John Avlon. Thanks for being here. Nice to see you again.
Great to see you as always.
Now, all eyes are on Russia and Ukraine. President Biden spoke today, called this the beginning of an invasion. What did you think, two parts, what did you think of Biden's speech, and what is the beginning of invasion? How is that different than an invasion? Isn't that a little bit pregnant?
It is, and yet that's what Putin's trying to convince the world, right? You know, we're going to say these two regions of Ukraine are actually part of Russia, so we're going to send in peacekeepers, but it's an invasion. He just hasn't moved on Kyiv yet. Look, here's the deal. Biden's got to make the case to the American people for why Ukraine matters. But he's actually been setting this up for a long time. He's been very consistent saying the challenge of our time is democracy versus autocracy.
And it could not be more starkly laid out.
That's what's happening right now. This is Vladimir Putin moving against the international order, everything from self-determination to laws to decency to democracy, and saying that might makes right. And then it's up to the democracies of the world. Thank you.
That's right.
The democracies of the world to stand up, stand together, and say, no, this aggression will not stand. And we'll see if sanctions, in a targeted way, are enough to really deter him, as long as the Russian elites and the Kremlin, those kleptocrats, feel the pain. Because we don't want a hot war. We're not going to have one here. But this is an affront to democracy. And it's a test case for the trajectory of the rest of the century. Make no mistake. It's Ukraine today, Taiwan tomorrow. So watch out.
That is sort of the chilling part of this.
Yes.
That it does feel like the opening move of a very long chess game of reorganizing the international political reality and the post-World War II, however imperfect, the post-World War II peace.
Yeah, perfect's never on the menu.
Right.
But we can't take our gains for granted. You know, we can't take democracy for granted, and I think there's a danger of that. You know, we see it here at home. We certainly see it abroad right now when people are saying, why does this matter? It matters because, as you said, we've had 75 years of relative peace and prosperity in Europe. That's virtually unheard of in human history, right? I mean, those folks were killing each other for centuries. And yet what happened is we won the peace after the Second World War, mm-hmm. right? I mean, we insisted, following actually Lincoln's prescription, unconditional surrender followed by a magnanimous peace. We built our former enemies back up, and we invested in peace in the form of the Marshall Plan. And that's what happened. And interestingly, you know, oh, I appreciate the little product placement
there. We're getting to it. We're going to get to it in just a moment, I promise.
But you know, where actually this book came from is really relevant to that. I found a quote from General Lucius Clay, who was the American general who did the German occupation. He was actually a Southerner. He was from Georgia, born 30 years after the Civil War. And someone asked him, what guided your decisions? And he said, I tried to think what Abraham Lincoln would have done for the South if he had lived. And it's that sense that investing in peace is the key. You need to wage peace.
Well, the name of the book is Lincoln and the Fight for Peace. What is that fight for peace?
What Lincoln understood, and then I think the fact of the Civil War, and there had never been a Civil War on that scale before in human history.
There hadn't been any kind of war at that scale because it was sort of the first modern war.
That's right. So a savagery that was unimaginable. I mean, you know, 750,000 Americans died, Americans on both sides. And what's democracy was, you know, at stake because, remember, it was an attempt to basically decide that Abraham Lincoln was an illegitimate president, an insurrection, an attack to separate. It was about slavery, 4 million American slaves. It was about freedom. But Lincoln also understood this key fact, and this is the fight for peace, that if you don't win the peace, you don't really win the war. And in a civil war, you can't pound your opponents into submission. You need to find a way to live together again. And so Lincoln was thinking long term, past that immediate cause and effect, and he was developing a plan to win the peace with malice toward none, with charity for all. He was setting the stage, but then he's assassinated 5 days after Appomattox, and he never gets to implement that vision. So it's his unfinished symphony.
So one of the things that Lincoln talked about in his first inaugural was appealing to the better angels of our nature.
Yeah.
And that is, those angels are the ones that allow us toward malice toward none and charity toward all. People often talk about our present national condition as a cold civil war, yeah. Whereas we certainly on social media, but often geographically, we self-select for our own communities, and yeah. We don't listen to each other anymore. When you look at what Lincoln's goals were and what his dream was for the post-Civil War America, what do you see as a prescription for us to appeal to the better angels of our nature now? What are those better angels that we can call on? Because there's got to be something on the other side of this dark moment.
What Lincoln really understood, aside from the fact that even in the Civil War, he understood there was more that united us than divided us as Americans. That's tough to do. He didn't demonize people he disagreed with. But he practiced what I call the politics of the golden rule, right? Treat other people as you would like to be treated. And it is just as difficult and powerful as that. And I think, look, our empathy has been tested, all of us. But the fact that he balanced his moral courage with moderation, that he never felt a sense of moral superiority, that he tried to reason with people using empathy as a pathway to persuasion, even in the middle of a civil war, that if he could do it then, that even though that example seems impossibly high, and it was rare in his time too, that that's what we need to aim toward. We'll fall short, but we need to aim towards that again. And remember that the vast majority of folks are not the screamers and the professional dividers and the people who are trying to profit off all this polarization. The vast majority of people are basically good. And we need to remember that and then build on that.
Well, thank you for this book. It is a profound meditation and a lesson for us all and a beautiful work. Thank you, John.
My friend.
This has been The Late Show Poncho with Stephen Colbert. If you're enjoying The Late Show Pod Show, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Watch The Late Show with Stephen Colbert weeknights at 11:35, 10:35 Central on CBS and Paramount Plus. And for more exclusive Late Show content, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and subscribe to The Late Show on YouTube.
I'm Rachel Martin. After hosting Morning Edition for years, I know that the news can wear you down. So we made a new podcast called Wild Card, where a special deck of cards and a whole bunch of fascinating guests help us sort out what makes life meaningful. It's part game show, part existential deep dive, and it is seriously fun. Join me on Wild Card, wherever you get your podcasts, only from NPR.